following is a recording of a sermon given at All Saints Lutheran Church in Ottawa, Canada. For additional messages and more information, visit allsaintslutheran.ca.
Do you know what this is? It's a shofar. Shofar. Shofar, show good. You could only get away with saying that once. But anyway, but do you know, if in English, do you know what this is? If you're going to describe this, do you know what it is? It's a horn. Do you know what animal? A ram. It's not a truck. No. Now, I have not figured out how. There might be some more agriculturally oriented people here that could tell me something that I always wanted to know. I've had this for years. Years I've had this. And I still don't know if it's a right or a left. But it's one of them, right? And so this is a ram's horn. It is a ram's horn. It's really, really hard. It's really, really hard. But it's hollowed out. And then this end is cut off and also hollowed out a little bit. And eventually, I'm going to blow it. And hopefully, when I blow it, I won't blow it. But I'll blow it. Gotta pay attention when I talk. I love language. I love words. I without words, I wouldn't know what to say. Now, so we're going to find out the meaning of the shofar. So it's a ram's horn. Now, a lot of people don't know that, they maybe never really thought about it, but you may have heard in the orchestra, we've got the strings section, the violins and the cellos. We've got the percussion section with the cymbals and the timpanis. We've got the woodwind section with the clarinets and the saxophones. Then there's the horn section. And it's called a horn section, which is the trumpets and the trombones and the French horns, because originally people blew horns. So in the Bible, when there's the word in English, and some translations don't do this really well, when it says horn in the Old Testament, blowing a horn, it's an animal horn. If it says trumpet, that's a man-made horn. And there's both kinds. Sometimes our translations don't actually show us which is the difference. And we just read right over it. So what we're going to be doing in a couple of minutes, we're going to look at some verses that refer to this, the ram's horn. And so what I've done is I've taken the liberty, using the translation that we use, where the word horn is in English, in the Old Testament, I substituted the word shofar. Now, this is a very special time of year in the Bible. These are what's called the fall feasts of Israel. It's a two-week period that began last Sunday night that starts with a holiday where this is a very important part of the holiday because the shofar is blown many times during this holiday called Rosh Hashanah. It's also the Jewish New Year. And it marks the beginning of this very special two-week period. 10 days after Rosh Hashanah, which the Jewish day always begins in the evening. You know why the Jewish day begins in the evening? Because in Genesis chapter 1, it says there is evening and morning the first day, and then evening and morning the second day. So the Jewish day is based on the Bible and begins in the evening when the sun goes down. The Canadian day begins at midnight. And you know what happens at midnight? Nothing. You wouldn't know unless you had a clock. But when the sun goes down, you could tell something's happening. So when the sun goes down, that's the beginning of the Jewish and the biblical day. And so 10 days after Rosh Hashanah, when the shofar is blown, is a special day called Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It's the most holiest day in the biblical calendar when the high priest would go into this intersection of the temple to make a very special sacrifice. And the people would humble themselves before God seeking forgiveness. 5 days after the Day of Atonement is Sukkot, the festival of tabernacles or booths. And it's a week-long Thanksgiving holiday. Who here would like a week-long Thanksgiving holiday? Yeah. But actually, even in Israel where they celebrate, you don't get the whole week off necessarily. And so next week is when it begins. And it also coincides this year with the Canadian Thanksgiving holiday. So I'm going to talk about Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, next Sunday, God willing. But this week, we're going to look at this holiday. I mentioned last week, too, if you have any Jewish friends and you haven't yet wished them Happy New Year, it's still a time that you can do that. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the meaning of the shofar by looking at a whole bunch of references in the Bible, verses in the Bible, that refer to the ram's horn. You probably didn't know that there are so many references. And so when the shofar is blown, it should remind us of a whole bunch of things in the Bible. And so I need to tell you what those are first before I blow or try to blow the shofar. So I've got several verses that need to be read, and I'd like the kids to be the first volunteers to do this. So who likes to read? And you're going to get to read in the microphone too. Oh, for sure now. Yeah, give me that microphone. Yes, okay. So I'm going to give you, the first one's going to be, it's two halves. You're going to read both. When it's not, you sit down and you wait your turn. Be patient. Would you like to read one? Okay. Who else wants to read? Here we go. That one. You want to read? That one. Who else wants to read? Would you like to read? Yes or no? Yes? That one. Okay. Who else wants to read? Jack, do you want to read? Oh, this is a good one for you. Nathan will help you. Okay. Yeah. Anybody else? Would you like to read one? You want to read another one? Okay, I'm going to give you... Okay, these are the ones at the end. Okay, you know what? You're going to read these two halves. I'm going to tell you when to read them. And I'm going to give Robin this big one. It's a three-parter. Okay. Notice I didn't even ask my wife if she would. We've known each other a long time now, so I can trust that that's going to be okay. Who's got 1A and 1B? You do. You read those. Go.
1A, Exodus 19, verse 16 to 19. One morning on the third day, there was thunder and lightning, as well as thick cloud on the mountain, and a blast of shofar, so loud that all the people were in the camp trembled. Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. They took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now, 1B, Exodus 19, verse 16-19. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended upon it in fire. The smoke went up like smoke of the kiln, while the whole mountain shook violently. As the blast of the shofar grew louder and louder, Moses would speak and God would answer him in thunder.
Okay, so here, thank you. Here is the scene at Mount Sinai just before God speaks the words of the Ten Commandments. And it's a wild, dramatic, and scary scene. There's shaking and thunder, and the sound of the shofar gets louder and louder and louder. And it actually terrifies the people as God is revealing to them that He's the one powerful God who has come to save them and to teach them His ways. And so when we blow the shofar, we need to remember that our God is a God of redemption and of revelation. Okay, who has number two? Joshua 6:20. Okay, go for it.
So the people shouted, and the shofars were blowing as soon as the people heard the sound of the shofars. And they raised a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so the people charged straight ahead into the city and captured it.
Yes. So remember, every time, I'm not making this up, if the word shofar is there, that's what the Hebrew actually said. So the people were marching around the walls of Jericho, the big, huge, powerful walls that nobody could get through normally, and they marched around blowing the shofars, and after they did that, the walls of Jericho fell. Now, I don't know if our insurance policy covers shofar blasts, but we'll have to find out when the time comes. But let's remember that God provides miraculous victories. When we hear the sound of the shofar, we're to be reminded that God is able to do things that nobody can do in their own power. Our God is with us and wants to show how great He is. Okay, who has the next one? Psalm 47:5.
God has got up with a shout.
Thank you so much. Whatever else happened there, the cuteness experience that I just had was wonderful. So that's terrific. And so God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a shofar. The shofar remembers that we praise God for He is worthy. You know, you've heard this before. We go to a hockey game or some great event and the crowd goes wild. Yet we come to church and we often think, well, we need to be all, you know, calm and quiet all the time. But our God is worthy of a shout and the blast of a shofar. All right. I think it's Jack. No, it isn't Jack yet. Isaiah 58.
Okay, that's 7.
I'm sorry, I made a mistake here. Wait a second. My mistake. It's supposed to be Psalm 98. I'm having trouble. Come on. There we go. It's actually the psalm that Lori read. So who has Psalm 98? You do. Go ahead.
Psalms 98, verses 4 to 6. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the shofar. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord.
Now this shows that I actually got a little mixed up with my notes. And what I wanted to say last time with Psalm 47, I should have said here. And this is where we need to make a fuss because of who God is and make a joyful noise to Him and with the blast of the shofar. Psalm 47:5, just before that, and this is not, there we go, is to remind us that God is King. And that whole psalm reads like a coronation song. And God is worthy of our praise because He's King of all the earth. So now we go to Isaiah 58, verse 1.
Shout out. Do not hold back. If lift up your voice like shofar. Mount to my people their rebellion to the house of Jacob the sins.
Thank you. Shout out, do not hold back, lift up your voice like a shofar, announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. The prophet is called to speak with a loud, clear voice. Many believers are so apologetic today. Somehow we think that the word of the Lord to us is go into all the world and be nice. And yet the world needs to hear the clear and unapologetic word of God. We're to sound like a clear shofar blast. And here's another one. This is one I think Jack has. Joel 2, verse 1.
Blow the shofar in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
The shofar acts as God's alarm, waking people up to hear what He is seeking to say to us today. We need to wake up and hear the word of the Lord. Okay, who has Zechariah chapter 9?
Zechariah chapter 9, verse 14.
Then the Lord will appear over them, and his arrow go forth like lightning. The Lord God will sound the shofar and march forth in the whirlwinds of the south.
So this is a prediction about the coming of the Lord. There will one day be a final shofar blast, and God will gather everyone for judgment. At some point, it's going to be too late. The shofar reminds us that we need to be hearing what God is saying now and obey Him now before it's too late. So we're now going to go to a section in the New Testament, and we don't have in the Greek a word for shofar, but it refers to the trumpet. And it's very much like what we're reading in Zechariah.
What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?
Every week in the Apostles' Creed, we recite that we believe in the resurrection of the dead. But in my experience, it's not something a lot of believers think about. We tend to think that our future is in some kind of heavenly disembodied state. But the Bible teaches that God is going to redeem our bodies. He's going to raise us from the dead, bring us to the judgment, and those who know Him will be resurrected in an everlasting physical, spiritual body forever. And the shofar reminds us that for the believer, that's what we have to look forward. That's what we have to look forward to. I've just got lost in my prepositions there. Okay, we're going to go back to an early reference in the Old Testament. In fact, this is the first reference to shofar in the Bible. And in this case, it's not blown, as you'll see what the reference is, and then I'll comment on it.
He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me. And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns.
And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided."
So the very first reference to shofar, ram's horn, is in this story. And it's actually one of the most difficult stories in the Bible, where God calls Abraham to sacrifice his son, Isaac. And Abraham is willing to do it. And as he's about to obey God in this horrific thing that God told him to do, at the last minute, thank God, God stops him and in Isaac's place provides a ram and tells Abraham to look over, and there's these bushes, and as far as I can tell, they're thorny bushes. And in this what's called a thicket, a ram is caught by his horns. And God tells Abraham to take that ram and sacrifice the ram in place of Isaac. And we're told here that so Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide," as said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." It's very possible that exact same place where this happened, Mount Moriah, is later on where the temple in Jerusalem was built. And right near the temple is where our Lord Jesus gave himself and truly sacrificed himself, unlike Isaac, for our sins. The greatest provision that God has ever provided. God's provision for all of our grief, all of our sorrow, all of our sin, all the ways we've blown it, all the ways that people have made a mess of our own lives, all the problems of this world have been resolved through what God has done by providing his son, who is, what he did is anticipated through this scene when God provided the ram in place of Isaac. And so when the shofar is blown, we are reminded that our God provides for all of our needs. The scripture teaches that if he's given us his son, how much more will he provide everything else for us? That's how much God loves us. You know, a lot of people think, well, if God gave Jesus, just be happy, you know, be satisfied. And so like all your problems are kind of like nothing compared to what God has done in Jesus. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that if God went so far out of his way to show his love through giving us Jesus, how much more will he take care of the other things in our lives? That's actually how it works. Also, you know, when we do something like this, and we've been trying to get people to come up and share testimonies, sometimes we think being shy and not wanting to speak is somehow more humble than speaking out. But the shofar reminds us that God wants to hear our voices. The world needs to hear your testimony. The world needs to hear God's word from you. And I often say this after I always say try to blow the shofar. But I'm going to explain to you just a little bit about how this thing works. How many of you have ever played a trumpet or a trombone or any kind of horn instrument? Okay? Only a few. Well, so you may not know how this actually works. So I am going to put my mouth on this mouthpiece, and I'm going to try to make a sound that's going to come out through this end. Now, what is my contribution to the sound? That's going to be really bad if I end up not blowing it properly, but this is what walking by faith really means. Anyway, you know what I'm going to do on this side? I'm going to do this. Isn't that marvelous? The greatest trumpet players in the world do this. That's what they do on their side of the instrument. And then the instrument takes that sound and makes it into something a lot different. And so a lot of us think that all we have to contribute in the world is a little bit of... Now, I know some of us think that when we go out into the world, we offer an... That's a different problem. Most people don't have that problem. Most people think that all they have to offer is a little bit of... God wants to take our... and use it. But you have to be willing to step up and offer your little bit of... So here, we're going to try it. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to attempt to do the traditional blasts that are done during this festival. There's a long blast, followed by three shorter blasts, then seven, what we call staccato, very, very short blasts, and then a longer version of the long blast. So here we go. It doesn't take that long. 2 hours? No. I get before I do that. Very. It's like an elephant. Yes, that's right. Yeah, I wonder what the elephant's thinking. Anyway, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you have come into our lives and that you want to take our smallest of offerings, our little feeble attempts at making a difference in this world, and you want to amplify it. You want to take our noises and turn them into beautiful melodies. Father, we pray that you'd open our eyes and our ears to hear and to see all the marvelous things that you've done in your word and all that you want to do today in our day. Father, forgive us for belittling the offerings that we have to bring to you, for looking down on ourselves. We are feeble, we are weak, but there's no telling what you would do with a life that's willing. You are the one who's given us life. You are the one who sustains us. You are the one who heals us. You are the one who wants to use us. And it doesn't matter if we're 9 or 90. There's nothing stopping you. You who knocked down the walls of Jericho. You who spoke your word to people. You who deserve our praises and deserve a great noisy fuss because you alone are God and King. You who call us to speak your word into a confused and troubled world today, we ask that you would help us to remember who you are and to be willing to step up and be used by you in any way that you want to use us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For additional messages and more information, please visit us on the web at allsaintslutheran.ca.